Okay, we're on page Kuf Ayin, starting with this paragraph Hey. V'nishtadl lahazgir ashev ez Hashem ezbach b'tzora kama shalashem shigilun atzadikim s'chusim genelenu shem yichaylim lufal harbe ma'amachshobas v'adiburim v'amazim sheizkan v'ed harbe sheizkan kol nefesh v'ahamis. Some of you might recall we spoke last year for a few minutes about the reality that inside each and every one of us there's a zoo. We might not know it, we might not smell it, but there's a gan chayis inside each and every one of us. All of the ummas, 70 nations, 70 koiches, and the nefesh of Bahamas, kol nefesh of Bahamas, yesh by midah shel kina, therefore in each and every one of us, to one degree or another, there's the midah of kina, of jealousy, of nekima, the need to take revenge, and the tear of sinna and hatred of terumis, all kinds of kpedis and tainis. Sheboi mimash nidma sheploni yeploni, having gazot avart, other gegeven a chep. The longer Yiddish quotes will read inside on the bottom in the Hebrew, but I think everybody knows what that means. That it seems to each, it seems to the individual that this particular person. Does not take me very seriously. That person said something in a way that we find that I might find offensive, or the person, in whatever way, insulted me. And most of us spend a great deal of our emotional energy thinking about feeling the pain of somebody having said something or having done something that insults us or that hurts us. The chaos, anger, and kapdonus, atzvah, sadness, atzvah, laziness, v'gaiva, these are a few of our favorite things. V'al harbe midas, hepech, mimidas atayvis, page kuf ayin aleph. So, the individual's feelings of anger, and gaiva, and kin, and jealousy, so on, are of course all related to the nefesh of Bahamas, to the animal soul inside each and every one of us. V'chol amidas ha'elu b'koichem ligrum kol ha'machshavos v'hadibur v'hamasim she'eskanu b'ezras Hashem yitbarach. V'nishtadl l'dabur b'ezras Hashem yitbarach tzas mikina. Now the main point of this kuntris, all of this really is a long hakdama, which is very important, because in order to understand kinim, you have to understand b'chlal, the inyan of tikkun amidas. But the main point, of course, is envy, jealousy. So the tzaddik explains, "V'nishtadl l'dabur b'ezras Hashem yitbarach tzas mikina." We're going to try to understand, to talk a little bit about this midah of jealousy, of kina. Sha'avayda al zeh meyer b'miyuchad b'shabbos koydeh zeh. Remember that this Torah was said, Parshas Korach, and as we discussed a few weeks ago, that Korach, despite his astounding greatness and the fact that he had Ruach HaKodesh, that Korach's downfall was the result of a very subtle feeling of envy, a very hidden, remarkable feeling of envy for Elitzofen and the choice of Elitzofen as the Nasi of the tribe, of the family of Kahaz. So therefore the Tzaddik says, K'me Shegilu Lana Chazal, Shabbos Kodesh Hazeh, whenever you're living through a certain Shabbos, so that Shabbos, for instance, this week is the Shabbos of Pasha Shoftim, Titun Lecha B'chol Sharecha, where the Torah says that you should appoint judges and officers at all of your gates, Sfasemes, and all the tzaddikim explain how are people like us supposed to be Mekayim that. What does it mean to have judges and officers at all of your gates? So of course, we don't have the ability to be mekayim that as far as establishing batei dinim courts or a Sanhedrin. But as the tzaddikim explained, that each and every one of us has different gates. The two eyes are gates. The mouth is a gate. The ears are gates. Right? So when the Torah says, shayftim v'shaytim titn l'cho b'chol sharecha, that you should appoint judges and officers at all of your gates, that means that this week, more than any of the week of the entire year, a Jew has the ability to appoint judges and officers to see to it that nothing inappropriate comes in or goes out. from those gates. B'chol sherecha v'shoftu us ha-mishpat tzedek, to judge somebody in a good way, to be dan lekav schuz. In other words, Shabbos is not something which is just a question of reading the parasha. Shabbos is something that we live with. So therefore, each Shabbos gives us certain kaiches to overcome things in life and to reach certain madregas. So this Torah was said, of course, Shabbos Kairach. Kairach, the Indian of Kairach, is to teach us how to contend with those feelings of envy and jealousy. To be aware of those feelings, even though we might not sense them in a strong way, but that they exist. Shabbos Mikina Amuka. Kairach's downfall came from a very deep, almost imperceptible kina. Therefore, during that Shabbos of Kairach, of course the entire year, but particularly during the parasha of the week of Kairach, one can come to recognize those subtle feelings of envy, of jealousy. The tzaddikim have taught that it might seem to a person that he doesn't have any kin at all. He's not jealous of this person. Or he might admit that he's jealous of somebody else. But he's not jealous of this person. Other rabbi, if you would ask him, he would say, I'm so happy for that person. I mamish only feel positive things for that individual. It's like that with all amidas. Mikas, anger, is something that usually is more readily discernible, but when it comes to gaiva and kinna and so on, so very often, unless one's really working in the union of midas, this Thursday, so Shchaydish El, Friday is Shchaydish El, so the whole union of this time of the year, of course, is to make a cheshbon hanefesh and to try to make an accounting of oneself, to try to understand oneself. Who am I? Where am I holding? So the Svarim say that unless a person works on himself, it's very hard to know. With the Bechlal, you have that midah. Ubefrat lemi she'ein maschel avad lamidah shaloi vada yoch ladamas le she'ein le kinnik yidum tzedikim. Look in the Hebrew in Chav Zayin. Kfi ma she'oivdim pochas al amidahs. If a person works, that person who is not, so, the individual who does not work much on his midahs, kach nidme lo'odim she'ein le bechlal midahs roz. It's amazing. The people who work less on their midas and think less about their midas seem to have the most perfect midas to themselves. Nobody else thinks that about them. But as far as they're concerned, they have the most wonderful midas. The less you work. Someone asked me this, one of the chevre asked me the other day. We were learning something, so he said, you know, it's really, maybe it would be better if I not work on becoming a greater person. If I try to become a greater person, then I'm going to have greater nisyanis, more difficulties in the greater Yetzer Hara. It's better that I should remain in my lowly state, and I won't have to worry about such chashuva things. It's not an eitzah for a Jew. It's not an eitzah for a Jew. Naturally, the greater one becomes, the greater the kaiches you have to overcome those things as well. So a person who doesn't work on himself at all might not think that he's anything wrong with it. There's anything wrong with his midas. And he explains, ukmai ashpa gedayla, like a big garbage can, like a heap of garbage. There are cities like this. I have a friend of mine that went to a city someplace in the Far East where the whole city was one big garbage dump. Now, I mean, there are people that live there, but the place mamish reeks, the whole city. So if you leave a place of garbage and you don't touch it, over time you don't realize you don't feel so much the terrible stench. When Americans came to liberate concentration camps, these were very tough guys. The soldiers that came, these were not delicate people like us. Yeah, they're tough guys. They were fighting in the army. But when they walked into the concentration camps, the first thing, I mean, for miles away, there was the smell of death. We can't even imagine what that's like. And I asked my father about that. He told me that was the least of his diagnoses. He said that wasn't anything that after the first day or two that he even noticed, but she didn't even pay attention to. There were so many bigger problems than that. And it smelled okay. Smelled all right. Didn't smell the bichlal. So that's the way it is with a person. So he says, but you know what happens? when you don't move it, when it's just sitting still, the garbage, when you don't go through the garage or the basement and you let everything just sit like that. So it's not so terrible. It's not so terrible necessarily. But then once you begin to move things away, once you begin to uncover things and to shake things up and to awaken the dormant, those dormant bacteria, so lanakis is a makom hazayim esayira haruach amigila merchakim, then the ruach becomes geferlich. When you start to dig, the smell becomes terrible. It doesn't become terrible, then you can smell it. It was there, but you just didn't smell it. So back on top, right after the Yiddish, after the Chavzayim. So aval muvin l'kol echad. So he's explaining, when you're not working on your midas, what does it mean when a Jew is not making a cheshbon nefesh? A Jew who doesn't work on his midas, he could be, it's not nice to say, but using this moshul, it could be like one big heap of garbage. There could be things that have such a stink that are there for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. But unless your person is trying to find your way and to dig deep into yourself, if you're not a person that digs, everything looks great. Everything looks fine. Doesn't smell at all. But when you start digging, then you start to smell. That's the way it is. Aval muvin l'kalechot, sha'af, after the chavzayin, sha'af, sha'ach, shav magishim re'ach, chozak har be'yoyisim ikaydim, she'eschilu l'nakayis. So you're thinking, oy, 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 why did I start to do this? You know, you start to clean, let's say, under some place for Pesach. If you never would have looked there, you never would have moved the thing over, it would have been just fine. But when you're looking, then it's terrible. The things that you see, and you know that it comes from you and your family, it's terrible. It can be very upsetting. There's a friend of ours, she had an interesting lesson. She said, you know, I can't even describe to you how disgusting it was when I came back to the bungalow the following year, the kind of mess that I found. And what's most upsetting is that it was me. They left it that way. I left it that way. So that's the story of our lives, you know. If you don't move over the fridge, if you don't move over the oven, if you don't look under the stovetop, so everything sits like that. And after a while, you don't smell it, you don't see it, you don't feel it, and you stop. It's okay. But yet, when you clean, so he says, "Mikol makom." Nevertheless, rak achshav mekavim mitzapim shesoyf kol sof achedi yegila es maki lagamrei. Now you know that once you uncover the mess and you recoil in horror from the stench, but then you roll up your sleeves and you take out your easy off whatever it is and you get to work. It's a gewaldige hana that a person has. When I say hana, I don't mean that the job of cleaning or the job of confronting the mess is a pleasure. But the feeling that the mess is finally being addressed and something's happening and something's being done, you feel that yourself, kol sof, you're on your way to cleaning the room, and it's going to happen. Shesof kol sof achedi yegili asnaki lagamrei. Now there are some people who'd rather not look under the place. They'd rather not look. So if they can afford to, they'll go to a hotel. But otherwise, they'd rather not look. Bichlal, why do I have to look? Until I looked, I had no problem. But if you look and if you dig, it hurts. K'moichen hamidis. Look now for the Hebrew down in Chav Ches. We'll go to the Hebrew. K'shaloi ayvdim u'mishtadlim. It's the same thing when it comes to midis. When a person does not work on himself, ein magish mesareach. Other people might sense that in you, but you think everything is fine. Everything is just right. I talk the way I'm supposed to. I'm not jealous. I'm not a balas gaiva. Everything is fine. So the problem is that the heap of garbage is the same as it always was. But the Baruch Shalom helps you. So sometimes, even though you might not have been working to uncover what was underneath, to look into the garbage pile, but especially when it comes to the time of Elul, where there's an unbelievable siyata to Dishmaya, L'dovr Hashem Ori V'yishi, we're going to begin to say at the end of the week that Hashem is my light. L'dovr Hashem Ori, what does it mean that Hashem is my light? It means that even though I myself prefer not to look under that garbage heap of my life, Hashem, L'dovr Hashem Ori, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachmonis on Yidden, And for a person who even in a little bit, even in a little way, wants to become better, wants to do tshuva, the Baruch Shalom takes out his flashlight and puts it into the hands of the Jew, and he shows him the mess. And Hashem is always a meyiv zareach benefesh ha'adam. V'ha'adam maschil l'sakin ma'at es amidis, and the person begins to work on his midis. V'maschil l'chapes heichen hem l'starim v'nalama m'kvurim. He begins to see things that were buried and hidden. As I zeichem l'haschil l'hargis es areach. So then you begin to find things that are not so beautiful, and it begins to smell. And then a person cries out to Hashem, Rabbi Yisrael, help me. I can't deal with this. I never imagined that I had so much shmutz. I didn't know that I had so much dirt. But of course, he says in parentheses, it's not chalila to give up, but to be weakened by this. It's the best simon. This panamis is the best simon that finally the garbage is being removed, it's being cleaned. Okay, see, chayde naki v'na, and finally the room is going to be really, really clean, not just make believe clean. You know, you can walk in the street and you can go to shul, and everybody looks at you and thinks, wow, you're the most put together person in the world. And everybody is jealous, and everybody thinks, you know, I wish I could be Richard Corey, and everybody would be as envious of you, everything so put together. And you might also have accepted this. You might also fall for this. So when a person finally begins to work on oneself and to discover these things, initially it's terribly painful. But it means this hope. That's why it's interesting. We have a Kabbalah from the Tzaddikim that the first actual war for Eretz Yisrael was fought in the month of Elul. It's brought down in Bnei Yisrael and other Sfarim that the war took place with Sichain Melech, where? Cheshbon. The war, the first battle of Klal Yisrael for Eretz Yisrael was in the month of Elul. And the war was with Oig Melech Boshan, Boshan and Sichain Melech Cheshbon. It's a fascinating name, no? Sichon, the king of Cheshbon. And this, what is Cheshbon? Cheshbon Nefesh. The Sfarim HaKadoshim say that the greatest and most, and the fiercest war is fought at the very entrance to Eretz Yisrael by the king of Cheshbon. What does it mean, the king of Cheshbon? It means what the Yetzer Hara wants more than anything. Melech HaMoiri, his place was Cheshbon. What the Yetzer Hara wants more than anything is that a Jew should make a Cheshbon Nefesh, that you should not dig into the self, that you shouldn't ask, who am I? What am I? What's the tachas of my life? If the Yetzer Hara convinces you not to look, then you don't have to worry about anything else, because guaranteed there'll be kinna, taiva, kovid, all the worst things. When a Jew starts to make a cheshbon, he begins to sniff around over there in the garbage, then the Yetzer Hara starts to get nervous. And that Yetzer Hara, not to make a cheshbon, that's called Sichain, the king of the place that's called Cheshbon, Melech HaEmori, that a Jew shouldn't make a cheshbon HaNefesh. And that took place, the Milchama against Sichain took place in Elul. Because Elul, it's brought down in Svar Makedoshim, that Elul in the Lashon Targum is Yelule Yelole, which means, it means to investigate. Where do you see that? It says in Pasha Shlach, V'yasuru, to spy out, right? V'yasuru is Eretz Kanaan. V'yasuru, Targum, if you look in the Targum, it's Yolel, which the Svarim says, Lashon of Elul. Therefore, Elul means to search, to look, to try to find, to try to dig. That's the Lashon of Elul. So the war with Sichain, the king of the place that's called Cheshbon, who is trying to prevent the Jew from making a Cheshbon, that war is the war that's fought in the month of Elul. Because the Ikke Milchama of the Yetzer Hara is that a Jew should not think, where am I holding in this world? What's wrong with me? Not to become depressed, Chas Shalom, but to roll up one's sleeves and to take off the Ajax, the easy off the Brillo, and to get to work. But the biggest taiva, the biggest Yetzer Hara is not to make a Cheshbon. And that milcham is in the month of Elul. Therefore, we have special kaiches that are given to us in this month to fight against Sichain Melech Cheshbon. And the whole month is a time to make a cheshbon nefesh, not God forbid, again, not in a sad way or depressing way, chas v'shalom, but to work, to clean up. You begin to smell things in Elul. You begin to smell. That's why people hear Elul, they become frightened. They'd rather not smell it. They'd rather not smell the problems, but during this time, the Baruch Hashem gives us the kayach to make a cheshbon hanefesh and to fight a melchama. And Moshe Rabbeinu and Klai Yisrael were able to defeat Sichain in this month. Therefore, the month of Elul, you know, all each month of the year is connected to a certain shevet, right? It's connected to a certain tribe. Who's the shevet of the month of Elul? You know, God. God. We know very little about shevet God. It's not one of the things that they spoke about much in yeshiva, right, in school. God. One thing we do know: God gedud yigudenu v'hu yagud akev, which means that God is the one who leads the Jewish people, the troops. God gedud yigudenu, which means to form legions and troops. And God was the one who led us with Reuven to battle. God stands by the entrance by Eiver Hayarden. That's the war with Cheshbon. God means the ability to fight the Melchama. Against who? Against Sichai. Melech Cheshbon, who tells the Jew, don't make any Cheshbon. You're on automatic. Everything is fine. Why do you want to ruffle things? Why do you want to shake things up? Why do you want to look into your midas? You might find something you don't like. You might find some schmutz that's not nice. It might smell bad. Don't look. Everything is okay. You should be happy with what you have and who you are. That the milchama against complacency, the milchama against cheshbon, is the milchama of Elul, of this time of the year. That's the milchama of Elul. The pleasure that a person has when finally it's possible that the room, that the self should be cleaned. When it comes to the end of Yom Kippur, which the Svarim HaKadoshim say, the greatest simcha of the year is when Yom Kippur is finished, not because a person's happy, he can go get a Danish and a coffee. That's also geschmack. But the ikka simcha, of course, after Yom Kippur is the whole day of Yom Kippur, is a gewaldige simcha. There's no day when the simcha is as great as Yom Kippur. So I mentioned 2 years ago that the tzaddik of Yitzchak Vork and other tzaddikim, they explain why is it that we see, at least by Ashkenazim, that we sing Hashem no begadnu, we sing a nigan for vidui, which doesn't seem to be such a cheerful thing. Ay, 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 ay Pesukim explain that even though the prince might have made, or the worker made a mess in the palace, but the king gave him the ability to clean the entire mess, gave him a chance to clean that mess. The simcha of Matzi Yom Kippur, of Yom Kippur Bechlal, of this whole time of the year, where a person who makes a cheshbon nefesh should not be depressed coming into this time. God forbid. There are many people tell that to me. They go, oh no, it's Elul, it's that time of the year, it's Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom Kippur. Oy vey, what's going to be? And they're nervous and depressed. A little bit of anxiety is a healthy thing, and a little bit of guilt is certainly a healthy thing. But at the same time, a gewaldige simcha, the greatest simcha, that the Baruch Shalom Mamish gives each and every one of us the ability to find what's wrong, and in a very, very simple and painless way, to remove all of those things. And the kayach to fight against Sikh and Melech Heshbon at this time of the year, that we don't ever have such a kayach, L'dovet Hashem Ari V'yishi, Ari B'Rosh Hashanah V'yishi B'Yom HaKippurim, and to come to the simcha of the Yontif of Sukkis. The whole tkufa is a tkufa of unbelievable simcha, of unbelievable joy. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur also. After Chav Ches in the second column, there the third line. As you know, finally now, I could hope that finally there'll be a Tikkun Hamidus. Which we spoke about, that the whole ma'aseh with Korach was the result of a hidden jealousy. Korach would never ever have believed that he was shaykh in any way to feeling jealous, in any way. We spoke about, and nobody else saw this in Korach. We know that the union of the Meraglim, of the spies, it was a very, very remarkable thing that they were looking for, that they wanted, that they didn't want at that time. They didn't feel it was the way. It was the time to come to Eretz Yisrael. And all the Sfarim HaKadoshim explained what their cheshbon was. We're not talking about simple people. These were kulam anoshim. These were great leaders of the Jewish people. They were very, very deep cheshbonis to what they were doing. But the Zohar Kodesh says that the underlying hidden reason, the hidden agenda of the Meraglim of the spies, even though all the Cheshbonos were amazing, but the real hidden agenda was that they knew that in Eretz Yisrael there's no longer going to be a need to have it. There were no longer going to be princes of tribes. There were no longer going to be Nisiyim. That was going to be finished. All the meaning of the Nisiyas was going to end. And they were going to lose their positions of what? Of authority and of greatness. And even though they didn't think of that, and even though nobody else thought of that, but Chazal, it was revealed to Chazal that this was the underlying hidden agenda. Actually, Dibru Klal Mizeh, they didn't speak to each other about this. Of course, the figal madrigasum on their great level. It's the same, of course, with each and every one of us. He might be certain that he's not jealous at all. That every single one of us, without working very hard on this midah, not just a little bit, but great kaiches of kinnah, of jealousy. But tzaddikim here ishu kama amal v'yegiyat sichim lehegiyah la'ayin toivah. And the tzaddikim have revealed to us, have taught us how hard a person has to work to come to that madrega of looking at everybody with an ayin toiv in a good and positive way. Well, ahipach shel kinnah kiyadu mechlu sharim shama shomal ayin toiv shiva shonim. By the Gerah, they have a Kabbalah. They told you it was 13 years, not 7. That here it says 7 years, but whatever it was a long time. That for 13 years or 7 years, that the Chiddush Shaharim, who to us was certainly the sweetest and the holiest person in the world, and we'd be so jealous of his Ayin Tayva. We would only want to be able to have an Ayin Tayva like him. And he said that for all those years, he was working and working. He wasn't able to fagin. That was the first shiur that we began with. Until he came to a madrega of an ayin toiva. So we think that we don't have to work. Bo Hashem, we don't have such a terrible personality. God forbid, like the Chiddush Harim. It's not true. V'chein oid harbi tzadikim susingim amru dvar muflogim azeh. Umuvin shavinu shavashamayim roitzim mikal yochel ishtav l'rak fiyah yichayla shalei. Certainly Hashem does not expect any of us to be on the madrega of the Chiddush Harim. We're not holding at such an exalted level. Each person according to his ability. A commission of Dabal, a common bez Hashem is Baruch, Aval Rotsan, Avinu Shebashamayim, Sheneida Ba'ifan Baramai, Sheyesh Lanu Kenna. The first thing Hashem wants is that we should admit, we should acknowledge that there's a problem. And that problem is called Kenna, jealousy. We should Shmichim Shmira Gedoyla, Sheha Kenna Shalonu, and we have to work very hard, and there has to be a great Shmira. That what? Sheha Kenna Shalonu, that there's jealousy and other difficult meters, that it shouldn't ruin and destroy our neshamas. And in the Hebrew, that we shouldn't deceive ourselves, and we shouldn't allow ourselves to be deceived. We shouldn't think that there's nothing more to work on. Kinnashaych b'chol gil, jealousy is every age of life. B'chol tkuf, every period of your life. A yingel abacha, a younger man, an elder younger man, an elder yid, and women also. B'chol matzav, and in every matzav of life. I mean, he was saying this to men, the shmuz. So you're already thinking, oh, b'chol Hashem. Well, you see, it's not the gaitas at all. In every matzav of life, beruchnius, begashmius, in spiritual things and physical things. Now we're going to learn. There is such a concept of kina seifrim tarba chachma. There is such a concept that in spiritual things, there is a type of envy that is not only acceptable, but it's also something which has positive value. But it's a very, very dangerous. It's a very dangerous midah, kina seifrim tarba chachma, and we're going to have to learn when is it really kina seifrim. In other words, I'm so jealous that person has such religious children. My children are not as religious as that person. So you would say maybe that means that's a good thing. That's kinesai from Tabach Chacham. Or you have a yeshiva. So in yeshiva you have a bacha sees that the bacha next to him in the shiur that he understands everything and he has a tfisa, he has a much faster grasp of the material of the Gemara, and he wishes that he could be like his chavrusa, or like the other bacha in the shiur. Or you have that a woman sees that there's another woman that she has the time and she's constantly busy with different chassadim and bigger chaylim, machnasas kala, and she's always helping and doing. And you think, if only I would be like that person, that friend of mine, that she's so good, that she's so caring, and she's so loving, and I'm such a miserable, rotten person, and therefore I have a kinna, and that kinna is something which I believe is positive because I'm jealous of Kosov. I'm not jealous of her. I'm only jealous of that midah, the midah that she has, that she's so kind. It's very, very tricky, yeah? So we're going to talk about that. Over the next 2 or 3 weeks, we'll have to have 2 or 3 hour sessions to finish up, I think. We missed, for those who are able to, we'll have a little bit of a longer session last week. But it's very hard to know this inyan of kinna seifrim, meaning that Tamid Chacham who are jealous of the Chacham of another person, and how can we apply that, when can we apply that, we have to be very careful. We'll talk about that. But certainly there's jealousy in spiritual things, just like there's jealousy in physical things. And in spiritual things, perhaps there it's even more intense. It's more intense. Because we all want to be good Jews. And when you see somebody who's a great davener, you see somebody who's a great learner, or someone who is very, very loving and very kind, so because there's nothing that a Jew wants more than to be a good Jew, and it hurts us that we're not good Jews, and we so desperately want to be better Jews, it's very easy to be jealous of somebody when it comes to ruchnis, and that it might not be used in the right way. That person has you have certain milas, and that person has other milas. And even though we have to work on everything, but we have to talk more about how do we apply this to areas of spirituality. When is jealousy acceptable? When it's not acceptable? Kosher ma'ir lahaskir pratim. It's of course difficult to go into details. Ki kol echad hu olam ali. Every Jew is an olam ali. It's his own. He is a world. That kinna baba eifin acher with ramachem, and therefore each and every one of us has different, are jealous of different people for different reasons at different times. Ukemaychal amidus akinha itzal kol echad vechad uganse mesechta mamish. With each person, it's a whole safe. It's a whole story of his life. In pratim, with prate pratim, with many many chapters and sub chapters, sugi shleimus. Avol nazkir ktsas. Nazkir ktsas. Yidum et tzaddik, v'nirim es b'chazal ha-kadoshim. The Svarim ha-kadoshim tell us, ki ikir ha-kinei etzal kol echad hu b'nyanim shu oisik b'hem. The main jealousy, the main area in one's life where he or she feels jealousy and envy, is davki in an area that you're good at, that you're oisik in, that you have a shaychus to. Hu b'nyanim shu mishtadu b'chol kol chesiv l'aslih b'hem. Davki in those areas of life where you're struggling all of your life to be matzliach, to be successful in. Ulagia behem lamashat tzarech lagia, and to reach the madrega that you could reach. V'zeh nichlal b'hamitzvah shel v'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha. Now it says in Torah that you should love another Jew as yourself. V'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha. So that means on a deeper level, she'ikir ha'avayduhu b'ha'ra'acha asher kamoicha. Why does the Torah have to say you could just say to love any Jew. Reacha means someone that you're close to. It means someone that resembles you. It means someone who's part of your life. It means someone who has a shaychus to what you're good at. L'reacha, a colleague. It's not a problem. We're usually not jealous of strangers, but we're usually not jealous of somebody who's matzlich in something else. Somebody's matzlich in something else. So he says, "Davka, what sheikar avaydi behereacha asher kamoicha, v'haft l'reacha kamoicha." There, the Torah has to say, when there's a reacha, which means a friend, kamoicha, who resembles you and shares many things in common with you. In other words, a colleague, a neighbor, a friend, a sister-in-law, a brother, whatever it is, a sister, a brother, a reacha asher kamoicha. The Torah there has to go out of its way to say, "V'hafta, davka l'reacha kamoicha." You could be someone who loves every Jew and who talks about Ahav Yisrael. Oy, Yidden are so gewaldig, Jews are so unbelievable, they're so wonderful, I love every Jew, I love every Jew. And like your father and mother sitting there hearing this thing, didn't hear much love coming from you to us. Or you could have your own children, you know? Such a big, my parents are such unbelievable Ahavi Yisrael. I told you that we had friends of ours years ago. There's a friend that said that the worst thing that ever happened to him was when they made him Parents of the Year in the yeshiva. Because every time he yells at the kid says, you're not ashamed, you're a Parent of the Year. You're not ashamed of yourself. You call yourself a Parent of the Year. So you know what it is. You could be the biggest tzaddik by Yanin, by everybody else's children. And it's the craziest thing. Because let's say you'll be sitting there, and you'll watch somebody, let's say, berate the child, their own child. You'll see somebody give musa to the kid. And you're thinking to yourself, this is absolutely the worst parent in the world. There's no way to talk to a child. There's no way to talk to your child. And while you're having those thoughts, your kid is saying, Mommy, you say, leave me alone. I'm thinking about how there's no way to speak to one's child. It's so crazy. It's mamish crazy. How you could see by everybody else, so many chesroinis. And not just that. Davki, when it comes to Reacha Kamoicha, that's where your nisyonis are, who you are. You can be the biggest Oiv Yisrael by Yenim, by everybody else in the world. And you can give speeches about Ahavas Yisrael, but it's so hard with your own. That's when it's Reacha Kamoicha. So he explains. She'ikr ha'avaydehu b'ha'reacha she'er kamoicha. De'zel b'mamish. That's the hardest thing. In the Hebrew Lamadal, Shu Oysa Dover Kamaicha Mamish, Kfi Masha Adam Yoysa Karavelecha, the person who's closer to you, who Yoysa Kamaicha, the one who's more Kamaicha. Don't brothers and sisters, brothers, they make themselves Mamish crazy over these things. You could have someone, you could have a discussion with a sister or brother, you could be, you know, 40, 50 years old about, mommy liked, said this to you and daddy said this to me. Mommy liked you more. Daddy. All of us have these cheshbonos, these things. Even we don't think of them. So we don't understand why is it that we're not, how come I can't be so loving to my sister? What's the matter with me when it comes to my brother? How come to the whole world I'm so nice when it comes to my sister, my brother-in-law, when it comes to this person? I don't know, every time he comes to the room, she comes to the room, it's difficult for me, it's nisayin. How come I see so many chesroinis in this person who's closest to me? And in every other Jew, I see only milas. Because there are chesroinis that could be many, many years old. There could be many years old chesroinis. Va'oiskim am oisim in yonim. Dafka when someone's oisik in your inyan. Like Chazal said, bali malachi, right? You know, bali malachi. You have two people, two tailors, two butchers that have problems with each other. The tailor loves the butcher, the butcher loves the tailor, but tailors with tailors, it's gefährlich. If it's your Baal Malacha, it's gefährlich. Back on top, after Lamed, where it says Lamedal. Lamashal, Binyanam Gashim, for instance, in physical matters. Im Echad Baal Menagin Toiv. You have someone that has, it's a Baal Menagin Toiv. You know, when you have somebody that goes up, I don't know if the women are aware of what goes on with Baalei Tefillah. You know any of these things that are happening with Baalei Tefillah from behind the Mechitza? There's a lot of stuff going on. Now, there's a lot of stuff. I have to be careful what I say, because the other one from my shul is going to hear if I say something is wrong. But there's a lot of stuff going on with Baalei Tefillah. So, me, it doesn't bother at all. I davened in the shul once for the Amud Shabbos Chanukah. They never asked me again. I'm not sure why. I only davened once over in 10 years in my own shul. Well, besides Neilah, which I did a couple, but that's just screaming. But davening, I only davened once in the Yom. So, but it doesn't bother me at all. And you know something? Every Baal Tefillah gets up, he's a Baal Menagin. I mamish love it. Anybody sings a niggun, I mamish love. But the other Baal Tefillah, or the ones who consider themselves Baal Tefillah, if you could study their faces when someone's having a particularly good day, the Baal Musaf, and it's really going. The other Baalei Tefillah are not smiling the same as everybody else. It's not with the same gishmak. It's not the same hana. You have to be big Baal Madrega. And that's why they're usually going to go over afterwards and give a much bigger yashakayach. It's a funny thing to watch. You were unbelievable today. They're like, you know, so it's nice that they're trying to work on themselves, I guess, to convince themselves, and the whole way home they're saying he was unbelievable. Wasn't he unbelievable? He's really unbelievable. You know, but the Baalei Tefillah, they suffer the Baal Negina. You know, anytime you have any talent, you know, and there's somebody else that's a Baal Malacha, that's a Reacha Kamaicha, you know, so that Baal Tefillah, he's not jealous of Yossel Rosenblatt.
He's minded now. Yosler Rosenblatt, he's a different madrig. I'm not jealous of Yosler Rosenblatt. But about Yosler Katz, at the next table, oh, Yosler Katz, he thinks he's such a big baltfili, he's not such a big baltfili. That's the racha kamoicha. So that's what he's saying. He says, "Echad bal menagin toyev, asheni oise gevalde gebenklech." If a guy makes beautiful chairs, he's a talented carpenter. So the bal menagin is not jealous of the guy that makes the benklech, and the guy that makes the chairs is not jealous of bal menagin. That's the way it is in life. Moving shein shayach kol kach kinna. So there's not really a kinna. There's not much of a kinna between these two people. Even if this guy that makes chairs became a millionaire. You know, everybody forgives him except the other guy that makes chairs. But everybody else, you don't forgive a Jew that he should make a fortune of money. Rather, let him make his own day. But if he's my Baal Meloch, if he's my competition, there's a maimer from the Rebbe Vashar from Lubavitch that's called Heichalsu. It should be required reading mamish by every Jew. I mean, it probably is. Just no one told us that it is. But it's an unbelievable maimer from the Rashab called Heichalsu. He talks the whole maimer. I mean, you know, in Chabad, the Mamorim, it's like 35 pages, you know, one mahalach. But the Rashab from Lubavitch talks about sinas chinam. He explains, what does it mean, sinas chinam? Which we are so used to saying, sinas chinam. Which means what? How do they translate sinas chinam? Baseless hatred. That's what they usually write. Baseless hatred. Sinas chinam. What does that mean, baseless hatred? Bechlal. And the Rebbe Rashab says over there that the biggest sinas chinam is davke. When it comes to inyanim and ruchdias, magid ishiurim, bali tefila, more than anything else in the world, there's a sinas chinam. Among Talmid Chacham, he says this, the Rashab. Davkin is inyanim of ruchdias. And he explains, what does that mean, baseless hatred? The guy never did anything to me. He only did good things for me. I never heard a bad word from this person. Where does it come from that someone should despise that person? Why should you hate that person? Where does that come from? So he talks about the whole inyan of this whole inyan of what? Of when a person has a yeshus, a sense that when the ego, when a person feels that my selfness, my self is being threatened. You could have among women that there'll be a certain a woman that has a certain look, especially among the girls. That you could have you'll have one girl that she might be more attractive in their opinion, and she might maybe more put together, whatever it is, and she suffered. She doesn't know how much. There are girls that can't be civiler, and she's the sweetest and nicest girl in the world. But the Baruch Shalom made her with that kind of a nose, that type of that her hair, you know, it doesn't frizz up like you know, in the bad weather. She has such a mazel, and you don't have that mazel. And all the girl, and you know, and the girls feel like for this. And it eats people up. Mamish people have terrible yisur from these things. Why? Because you see that person, what's a baseless saying? That person's mitzias is trespassing upon my mitzias. Never said a bad word. The loveliest person in the world. But, you know, honey, you're in my territory. You're trespassing. You don't belong over here. Why? What do you mean? I'm also part of the Baruch Shalom's world. Why can't they? My parents put me in this school. Why shouldn't I be here? You don't belong here. Because you're touching my yeshus. Now that, you'll never, who would be, would there be any person that would be so meshuggah? Would you ever have that a woman would look in some magazine and there's some beautiful woman that's wearing an outfit, so she's going to be jealous of somebody in the magazine? From meshuggah. You have to be crazy to be like that. That's crazy. But if the next door neighbor's wife looks like the lady in the magazine, that's already not good. I mean, this is because there's a yeshus, there's a sense of the ego that feels threatened. And when that happens, in other words, when we have two chair makers, and two bala negina, moving shein shayach kol kach kinam, shein kein shnei anoshim shayisim benklach, but when you have two people that are in the same malacha, and every woman is a balas malacha with another woman. And every woman is a balas malacha, just like you have with men, especially when it comes to jobs, when it comes to certain things, hatzlacha with panasa. So it's very hard. If you have shnei anosim shayisim benklach, v'nid meshu oise yoise tayv matzliach. So it seems to you that this person is more matzliach. He's having great hatzlacha, shayach kinna. K'mashim chazal, you can't believe it. You think, I really make much better chairs than this person. And yet, that person is being honored as being, you know,
the greatest chairmaker, you know, the chairman or the chairwoman of the year. And I work so hard and I make such nice, and my chairs are much nicer than this person.
And when it comes to learning, this happens all the time. As Yeshani Sayin Shal Kinna, when you're putting your kaikas into learning, and you see somebody it appears to you as putting in less kaikas, and the Rebbe praises that boy more than you. And you think that you said something that was, you worked so hard to, and so you finally were able to figure out this taisvis. The boy figured out the taisvis, and he says of the taisvis, and the Rebbe says, meh. And then the other boy, who this guy saw half the time Chavrus is wasting time, and he raises his hands and he says over the Taisvus, and the Rebbe says, Yankala, Givaldik, Yankala, I'm going to have to call up your father and tell him, he says, I'm going to see your father in Shulam in the time that you said Trap and Taisvus. And the other kid sitting there, and his heart sinks mamish to the floor. Became it feel when it comes to davening. B'chol nyoni, avadis Hashem esbaruch, misha isik be'ez askonis, could be, like I said before, with askonis, somebody's busy trying to help yeshivas or the mitzvahs with the meschasadim. Yesh ha'avaydir shel kinna. There's so much problems with kinna, with jealousy. Mishi yesh loy musa. Moisad. Somebody who's in charge of an institution, of a yeshiva, of a beis yakov, whatever it is. Oshach roy al moisad. He's the principal of a place. Or he's a director, an executive in a certain ma'isad. A shayach is a ma'isad, belongs to this ma'isad. And he eats his heart out. He sees that the other ma'isad is more ma'isliach. I'll tell you an amazing thing. It's not a ma'isad of an ace, but it's such an impressive thing that I heard from the Baal Ma'isad. The yeshiva that I taught in for many, many years. So the manala of that yeshiva is a very, very dear friend of mine, someone that I respect greatly. And he told me that Reb Shlomo Feierfeld, you heard of Reb Shlomo Feierfeld? Reb Shlomo was a unique person. Reb Shlomo was such a heartsicker, special Jew. So he said that Reb Shlomo Feierfeld happened in a very interesting way, that he was introduced to a certain gvir, a wealthy Jew that was still untapped by the island. A new gvir. It's not simple. A new gvir. A new wealthy person that hadn't yet, you know, wasn't jaded and overwhelmed by the oil. And you know what Reb Shlomo did? He called up the principal of my yeshiva and he said, you know what? Come with me. Come with me. It's an opportunity for you to help the yeshiva. And he couldn't believe it. Rabbi Feller from our yeshiva couldn't believe that somebody would do that. You know what a madrega that is? And not only that, but he came together for this appointment. And he brought, and the Gvir was saying, like, "Who's this?" He said, "I want to tell you about this man's yeshiva, what he does for Jewish kids." And it's the same halacha. And everybody's thinking, you know, why should he take from? Why should he divide that 100,000, that 50,000, that million, whatever it is? But that's an unbelievable madrega. That's a bigger maifus than all the maifusim, his stories of maifusim of miracles. It's for a Jew to be such a balmidas. To take your own competition, so to speak. And those who are familiar with what goes on in the Maizdis, I'm not going to tell stories, whether it means the yeshivas or the other institutions, they all want good things. And they all want to help Jewish children, but you know, it could be a cutthroat business. Mamish. With families and yeshivas, I'm not going to go into any problems, it's not necessary. Everybody here knows different inyonim that we wish we wouldn't have heard. But everybody says, I only want to help Jewish children. I only want to help other Jews. I want to be makar of other Jews. I only want to be makar of other Jews. But I want to be the one who's makar of those Jews. Now, by tzaddikim, the biggest nachas ruch, you heard of Reb Shraga Feivel Mendelovich? Reb Shraga Feivel Mendelovich, he used to call himself Mr. Mendelovich, right? He's a tzaddik of Kaddish. Right, he was a Hungarian Jew, came to America, basically got Torah going over here. Reb Shraga Feivel used to send the best boys from Torah Vadas, the best guys to other yeshivas, to help get other yeshivas going. And the people that were working with Torah Vadas, like, they couldn't believe it. This is the future of our yeshiva. So Reb Shraga Feivel said, it's an afkimin minute, whether it's Torah Vadas or this yeshiva. The Ikkar is that the Baruch Shalom will have more Torah in the world. There should be more Torah in the world. It sounds like a simple svar, right? You can't say anything simpler than that. That it's all for Hashem's sake, Therefore,
what's the nafkamina, whether it's in our building or it's in that building? We'll try to spread the wealth. Let's get the other yeshivas going.
What a madrega that is. What a madrega. Because dafke is re'acha kamaycha, even for the best thing in the world. Even for the most noble, these are the most noble causes in the world. When you come to a certain town, believe me, I spent hours and hours, I was in a certain place down south, in a certain community. It's a tiny Jewish community. And I was down south, we went there, my wife, for Shabbos. And I spent so much time talking to, because there you had different groups that were working, trying to be makar of Jews in the community. And these two groups, like, are not talking to each other at all. And I was saying, come on, fellas, can't you work this out? It's so chaval. They're only like, you know, they're like, there aren't too many families, Jewish families in this whole place. And even the non-religious people are picking up on these fights. Why can't we just work together? You can make one Shabbaton. You can make one barbecue. You can make joint shiurim. You know how much you could accomplish? Oh, but this is like this, and they're like that, and I'm doing this, and like that. And so kinna, it's all kinna, that's all. Just kinna. And everybody wants to save Yiddishkeit. But it's kinna and covet, and yonim of covet, and kinna, and who was the one that started Yiddishkeit in our city, and who's the one that was the first? I'm not coming to his place. I wouldn't step foot into that place. It's crazy. What do you have all together there? A couple of Jews. Besides that, it's so counterproductive. It's an unbelievable turnoff to the Jews who live there, and they pick up on these things very quickly. It's a terrible turnoff. You could have two yeshivas, two groups, whatever it is. B'chein b'chol in yonam agashmiyin, and with all things. Shel parnas v'chadayim kameichen yesh avadi gedolah v'zeh binyan good to kinder ki yadua, oh, that's a whole mesechta with good children. You're so happy that your friend made a shidduch for their daughter with such a beautiful family. You're so happy for them. It's very hard. And good to kinder with your own children. Sometimes a parent has terrible problems, God forbid, with a child, and the children are not necessarily the way that you want them to be. They might dress differently, and they might act differently. And then you have a friend of yours where the children are the exact children that you would pick from the catalog, and your children are not the ones that were in the catalog, or the ones that you turned the page, it wasn't the one that you wanted, and those are your children. The Baruch Shalom is, you know, has a good sense of humor, and he makes all kinds of interesting shiduchim. But when it comes to this inyan of good to kinder, of being jealous, and this goes back to the parenting a few years ago, to believe with all of your heart that this is my shlichus, these are my children, these are my neshamas. It's so crazy to have a kinder for someone else's children. This is my inyan. This is what I have to do in the world with these children, with their teva, with their midas. You know, this one, you know, we all have this. It's so hard, you know, and I'm so far from, you know, it's for me to talk about this. And I'm just saying, mamish, I'm saying, imay anayichi betzara, that there's all things that we struggle with. Good to kinder, that inyan of children, of to be proud of our children and to see in them their milas, and not to measure them by somebody else's children, you know, not to how they dress and all these things, to be mezgabra and all the small things. It's so hard to do that, and we have so many kishloines. We fail so many times in this inyan, and because we want the child to be like that child, so we'll say things that we shouldn't say, terrible things, even between two children in one family, to make comparisons, to say things. You know how many times in teaching in yeshiva, I found that over the years, the worst thing you could say to a student is, oh, you're so-and-so. I remember I had your brother 12 years ago. Straight A's. Are you like him? The worst thing you could do to a kid, he doesn't want to even hear his brother's name. He doesn't want to hear his brother's name. Because it means right away, oh, it means this, here we go again, the whole mice, am I not, is he better, am I better? it's like driving a stake into the kid's heart, Mamash. And it's so hard with your own children, with to make comparisons with the other children. Kiyadua v'chemisha shayach, that itself is a whole mesechta, the Indian of children. and accepting your own children and being besimcha with your own children. That this is what the Baruch Shalom gave you, this is your gift, with the milas, with the chesroinus, and not to try to compare to other children, how this one goes, and this one learns, and this one... This is something that constantly struggling with, a kin in this inyan. Ki yadu, as it's known, v'chay misha shayach, la'ez et tzibur, v'ninim b'lesh et tzibur, shenim et tzliach yoyse. Let's say you belong to a certain community, a certain shul, and you see that another, a certain chesidus, and you see that the other tzibur, the other chesidus, the other community is more matzliach. That's more with men that they have that name, but it's also a tremendous, tremendous nisayin. Yesh nisayin gadol shel kina, tremendous nisayin of kina. I was once with somebody, and he was saying about a big tzaddik, a different rabbi. I was with a certain chassid, and he was saying about a different rabbi, terup, just open lashon hara, like the worst things. I said, "What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Is it tzaddik? Is it? How could you say those things?" He said, "You're allowed to say lashon hara about other rabbis, not about your own." So you saw it maybe someplace, and says that in a book somewhere. You could say it was someone else's rabbi. You're allowed to say. So he says, "No, this is a way of strengthening our love for our rabbi by saying lashon hara of someone else's rabbi." There's so much kinna that goes on in these inyanim. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. So much kinna that goes on. Even here in yeshiva, even by the bachrim, by the boys, how they talk about this rav and that rabbi and this was yeshiva and all this narishkeit. Measuring and comparing, who understands, who knows this rabbi, that rabbi, what's in our business, we don't b'chlah ha saga of any of these things. But you hear from the boys will say things that this rabbi is greater than that, and that rabbi is nobody. I heard that rabbi did this, and that rabbi took money, and all these kinds of things that you hear. You get mahamish faint when you hear these things. That the boys, well, kaseida comes out of their mouths, and it's all a kinna, and they heard it from the parents. So the Shalom says that that's the meaning that's also hinted at in the Pasuk. When it says, let's just finish this paragraph. When it says, you shall love another Jew, like yourself, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. So the Tzaddik wrote, that you should love your friend, mamish, in the simplest way, in things of this world. You shouldn't be in any way jealous of your friend. The same way you're happy when you get something, you're happy when you're matzliach, you fagin yourself, mamish, for all the good things that you get. He says it's a tremendous, tremendous malacha. But when it comes to physical things, when it comes to the mitzvah of Yahaf L'Racha Kameicha, in physical matters, it's even harder and requires much greater effort when it comes to Avodas Hashem, spiritual things. In other words, when it comes to the area of Ani Hashem, it says in the Pasuk, Yahaf L'Racha Kameicha, you shall love another Jew as yourself, Ani Hashem. So the Tzaddik is explaining that you always it's always hard to love another Jew the way that you would be, the way that you would be happy with your own Hatzlacha, to be happy for a friend. But especially when it comes to that area, what? Of Ani Hashem, of the Rebbeinu Shlom Zinyonim, of Ani Hashem things, of spiritual matters. What? That if you see another Jew, like that Meister Rabbi Freifeld, that he was so happy if he would see the other yeshiva help kids become frum, it would make him happy. Right? Or to see somebody, really, if you see somebody that's very successful in learning, you should say, it's so good because Hashem has nachas to see a Jew that's maslich and learned. Or if you see another yeshiva that's doing great, or another chesidus, another tzibur, you should have nachas. Because why? Because there are more Jews that are serving Hashem's work. You should have nachas and not be jealous. So Davka, the Torah says, V'hachlevach kamecha, ay, ani Hashem. And that area of ani Hashem is especially hard. Hudov ha-godol ma'id tzarech l'zem tzatzel, in Samson, it's got a tremendous effort. L'zor b'zeh shalei lahalas shum kinev alivay al-chaveira, rak lev v'yisev v'chal nafshim ha'oidai, to love. That's Davka, what the Rashab said, in the areas of Ruchnius, there's more baseless hatred. There's more kin in spiritual things. Because Jews are more passionate about their Ruchnius than they are about their Gashmis. So when, so you remember, they were so worried, the Maisa with Eldad and Medad, and Yeshua was prepared, right? Yeshua was prepared to throw them into jail. He wouldn't have to kill them. Because why? Because the Misnabim, they're saying Nevuah. And what's Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction? And it wasn't that Moshe Rabbeinu thought it out, and he says, this sounds, let me think about this for a couple of days. On the spot, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Mi'iten kol am Hashem Nevi'im. Mi'iten kol am Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yeshua, I know that you love me, but I want to tell you something. Mi'iten kol am Hashem Nevi'im. Halavai, every Jew should be a Navi. The same way, if someone comes and tells you, I want to tell you something, Mrs. So-and-so, your daughter is much smarter than you. Is there anybody that would feel bad about that? The greatest simcha nachas in the world. That someone will come and tell you, your child is better than you. We're waiting to hear that. Halavai. Good. The tzaddikim, for every Jew, they feel that. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mi'iten kol am Hashem Nevi'im. Yeshua, you're so upset that the Misnabim, Eldad and Medad, Halavai kol am Hashem Misnabim. Wouldn't that be great? If every Jew was a Navi, that would be great. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu heard it. Just like Reb Shlomo Freifeld said, wouldn't it be great if what if this yeshiva could get a, if this yeshiva could also get some money? Kol am Hashem Nevi'im, to produce more yeshiva children, more B'nai Torah. L'kakos of Ani Hashem. That's why it says at the end of Pasuk, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. L'hayu shetzarech miyuchad lezer koyach le'lekani b'nyani avodas Hashem. That you have to strengthen yourself even more than in physical matters when it comes to what the area that's called Ani Hashem. You have to strengthen yourself. U'befrat b'nyonim miyuchadim shel koyachad v'yochad echad mishkiya koyach v'teresena ha'kadosh v'iyin. You have somebody who pours his heart out trying to understand the pshat and the gemara to learn echad v'bikiyas. You have another Jew that his inyan is not so much to go into depth but to learn more material. Someone who comes to davening to pour his heart out with tefillah. Another Jew that works very hard on his midas. And if it seems to you that in your area that you think of yourself as being a tremendous balavoida, whether it's tefillah that you're a big davener, or it's learning you're a big davener, tikkun amidas, and you see somebody else that's what that has more hatzlocha in your area of ani Hashem. There, the nisoyin of ahat l'reha kamoich in the area of ani Hashem is even greater than the area of, than when it comes to physical things. Habe yoyisim v'niyeshin nisoyin shel kina. There, the nisoyin of kina is greater. When a person would say that the Baruch Shalom has nachas ruach from this, nachas ruach. I remember that years ago, and I think of this often, probably my wife remembers this, I made him, you know, it was one of those things that I was making him a sugar about, so she probably remembers. But there was a certain event that every year, at that event, I would fear Tish. I mean, I would tell Maisim, I would say Torah. This goes back maybe 16, 17 years. I don't know if you remember, we were at a Shabbaton. I remember it, I think about it a lot. I'm embarrassed. But I see no reason why not to share that with you, because it's true. And I suppose maybe one or two of you have also done something stupid like this. So, I for years I had that slot. I was saying over Torah and whatever at that slot. And then all of a sudden, one of the other rebbeim just like got up and he started doing that. And there wasn't time for, you know, I wasn't going to do also. It was late at night. I'm telling you, I couldn't sleep the entire night. It was gridgering in me. And if the Baruch Shalom, you know, the Baruch Shalom gives you a wife, well, you could tell your darkest, most embarrassing secrets to. But I remember telling my wife, I couldn't believe that this happened. I couldn't believe. And the whole night, I said, don't worry. You know, so I, like, you know, you don't worry. You're still the king. You're the greatest. But the whole thing was meshuga. The whole thing's meshuga. I should have. First of all, it was so relaxing. What do I need to constantly be talking at 11, 12, 1 o'clock, whatever it was in the morning? More talking. He was the greatest schus, that he's a wonderful Jew, and not only that, the worst thing is, he's my best friend. He's my best friend, the guy. And I couldn't take it. And what am I talking about here? Was it like some sort of a malchus or something? It was a couple of kids sitting around a table, you know, drinking and saying over shmuz. And it was making me meshuggah. That, like, you know, how could he? He knows I've been saying that's my thing every year. You know, and I think about this. So, the proper reaction would be, this is terrific, Baruch Hashem. It doesn't depend on Weinberger. We're passing along the torch. And also, he's very good, and the kids are going to have hanah from it. He's as good and better than me. So the kids will have hanah. Not only will they have hanah, they'll be more inspired. So you would think that their Rebbe should be most concerned with their inspiration, right? That's what I'm supposed to be. I mean, that's my job. My job is to be mechazik them, that they should be better Jews. I didn't think of that once. Not once didn't cross my mind what's going to make them into a better Jew. There was one thought: this is Weinberger's slot, and he stole it. Imam Shaganet. And how can my friend do that to me? He's a friend of mine. He gone for it. And then when I admitted this to another close friend of mine who runs the Shabbat town, he told me, Maisha, you have no idea what kind of... Do you know what goes on? Because one time I gave the other one to Dav, this time I gave this one to tell a story. Everyone's yelling at him. How come you gave him? You didn't give me. You know, I didn't know that it was like a whole soap opera every year. You know, who gets that assignment? So Davke, when it comes to the Indian of Ani Hashem, if we stop and we think, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is such nachas ruach. So Davke, when where it comes from me, it comes from him. But the ikur is that there should be nachas ruach, more kavod shemayim, more simchas hachayim, and so on. So we'll continue, Mitzvah Shem.